What is up, everybody? This is the Rafters Podcast, episode 40, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. As always, my name is Connor Strayer, and I'm joined by the co-host, Liam McDade. Liam, what's
your
up?
Boy.
My boy. Saw. Unfortunately, we're without Liam. I mean, not Liam. Dante this week. Wow. I know last episode, you guys were without me. So, you know, we got to fill in when people are away. It's the summertime. Shit happens, and we go on vacation here and there.
Next man up.
Yeah, next man up. At least we have three of us. So, like, if I'm not there, one of you guys can do it. We could do, like, a two-person show. It's what we used to do anyway, so it's not a big deal.
And I'm always around, so.
And you're sometimes around. I wouldn't say you're always around, because some weekends you can't do it at certain times, or I can't. Yeah. It's all good.
I get the episodes.
We have lives. It's the show must go on. Our lives must go on. We record on later dates. We had complications this weekend and we were all away. So shit happens. But big news. I mean, this is the first podcast that we've had in a while that we can actually talk about a game, two games that have been played, two real games that actually matter, against the Bucks and the Orlando Magic, the Portland Trail Blazers. Wow. I get those two teams confused once in a while. No idea why. Two different colors, but whatever. Two big games, actually, because a lot of these teams that we're going to play, these eight games, are really good. For instance, the first game, we played the Milwaukee Bucks. We lost that game, obviously. Score was 119 to 112 Bucks. But this game was jam-packed with drama, and this could be a possible showcase game or game leading up to an Eastern Conference final.
First of all, the NBA season's back. Let's take a moment of silence. Big, deep breath.
Wow. It's good to be back. I felt really good, yeah.
Yeah, just to be talking about real games again. So now that we got that out of the way, I can get into my rage. I cannot watch any games if Giannis Antetokounmpo is in the game. I can't watch any Bucks games, don't matter who they're playing. I am officially done watching the Milwaukee Bucks. After this game, I wanted to break something. I was screaming, losing my mind. What's the point of having referees if they're not going to do their damn job? It's like, Jesus Christ. Giannis finished the game with 7 fouls. 8 fouls. So many times he should have been called, should have fouled out late in the game when the Celtics are trying to make key pushes, and the refs will not get the other team's star out of the game because it loses them money. Understandably so, people watch these games to see superstars. People want to see LeBron out there. People want to see Giannis. But Jesus Christ, play the game fairly. It was so egregious watching Giannis drive to the rim and then just shoulder Marcus Smart out of the way. Just gave him a mean Mike Tyson elbow. Well, and I'm just like, what sport are we playing right now? He's carrying what?
Sorry to break that up, your rage. But, I mean, Giannis is so much bigger than Marcus Smart. And sometimes it does look like he's just hammering him out of the way, and sometimes, you know, Smart is a great, really good defensive player. He likes to get up all up in your business and just try to fuck you up. But you got to give it to Giannis. I mean, he's so much bigger than Smart. Sometimes when he does something, it just looks like Smart's gonna go flying or Smart's getting hit. But
I get that.
Yeah, but yeah, you got to give it to Giannis. I mean, I know you were on a rage about him having 8 fouls, and I get that. But he looked like he could not be stopped out there sometimes.
Well, all the time. Like, understandable. He was reigning MVP. He'll probably win it again this year, even though I don't think he should. That's a talk for another day. But that's not even the foul that I'm the most angry about. Obviously, what I'm talking about was when he was driving to the rack late in the fourth quarter and just kind of gave Marcus Smart the elbow, got him out of the way. And I understand, like, it's a size difference. Shaq fouled on basically every play, but there's nothing you can really do about it because he's 300 pounds, 7'1". And you need to let him play the game because he put fans in seats. But at the same time, like, late in games like this, we're watching this for entertainment value, and we want the game to be played the right way. And it's just ridiculous that Giannis gets this special treatment. A couple minutes after this horrible miss call, Giannis drives in the paint to try and extend the Bucks' lead, and Marcus Smart takes a charge and at the very last second takes his foot out of the restricted area. One of the biggest heads-up plays I've ever seen, and it takes a lot for me to give Marcus Smart my props. So saying this right now is intense. He made such a great play, and of course they reviewed it afterwards too. So at first they're like, all right, look, it's an offensive foul. Looks like Giannis is leaving the game. They review it, and then they overturn it, and Giannis gets to stay in the game. He eventually gets an and-one to put away the game on us. Just unbelievable. I'm so furious at the whole game. I hate this happens with Giannis in every game. I don't want to make it seem like this is like a rarity. This happens every game. Giannis gets every call. And it's just so ridiculous, and I'm so tired of it. So I am officially no longer watching Milwaukee Bucks games. The next Celtics Bucks game, you're going to have to tell me what happens, because I, if they announce, Liam, you won the lottery during the next Bucks game, somebody else is going to have to tell me I won the lottery, because I will not know, because I won't be watching that damn game.
Even if it's a seven-game series?
I will not watch a single game. I can't stand it anymore. Basketball... It doesn't matter if you're the superstar. Play the game the right way. If somebody's going out there and committing a five fouls, get them out of the damn game. It's one game. It wasn't even a playoff game. And they had to bend the rules. It's like with Zion. They wanted to get Zion in the playoffs, so they brought all these extra teams in to compete for him. And they're going to do anything they can to try and get Zion in the playoffs. And now that the Pelicans lost their first two games, I'm sure they're going to get a lot of extra calls to try and get them in the playoffs going forward. So I understand it's a business, but it's so see-through to me, and it pisses me off. That's my rant of the day. Boom.
I understand that. I understand the rant fully, and I get why you don't want to watch Giannis. You don't want to watch a Bucks game, because Giannis is going to get every call. It's like LeBron. Actually, that was one of the worst call, like, especially when they overturned that the charge call on Smart.
Yeah.
It's foul. Come on, guys. Come on, NBA. I get it. But, like, this is – I think I said this a few weeks ago. What are they going to do if Giannis gets corona or tests positive for corona? Are they going to let that guy play? Where, like, LeBron or guys like that, are they going to let these guys play? I mean, I know this isn't comparative to, like, the fouls and all that shit. But are they going to try to cover that up or let these guys play? Because at this point, I feel like if they have it, they're going to let these guys play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they let him play, but at this point, like, they're just tainting the game of basketball. It's egregious. Yeah. They're letting anything slide, and it makes me furious. And I understand the Celtics didn't all play to potential either, so it's like could have scored more points. They could have scored more points, and they wouldn't be in that situation. They wouldn't have needed the charge call. It's like, well, they didn't, and then they did need the charge call, and the whole thing ended up the way it did, and there's a reason we're talking about it today. I just think if it comes down to stuff like that, you want the refs to be on your side. It's like when the Saints-Rams game happened when Tommy Lee Lewis got bodied, and it was like whoever won was going to the Super Bowl. That terrible call. Everyone was pissed, and the Saints wanted a redo. It's like if the refs do something like that and really ruin the game, obviously this was just a regular season game. It wasn't up to those standards and high stakes like that game.
Yeah.
But it's the same level of outrage. It's like just call the damn game as you see it. It's especially if you review it and you take time to review it and then you overturn it the wrong way because they made the right call originally and then they overturned it the wrong way. It's like, what are you seeing?
Yeah, and you brought up a good point about players not playing up to their expectation. Jason Tatum fucking sucked that game.
He was atrocious.
Oh, my God. 2 of 18, 0 for 4 from three. Just shitty. 32 minutes played. Just god-awful. I mean, everyone else showed up.
Hayward has been playing great these last two games. I love what I've seen from Gordon Hayward. Tice was all right too. Tice had a double-double. Everyone was very serviceable, except for Jason Tatum, who looked like a damn homeless person out there.
Oh, God, yeah.
Could only manage 5 points.
And, yeah, 5 points, 7 rebounds. The rebounds, okay, whatever. But other than that, you fucking sucked. And that's a guy you need showing up to play every single day. Especially in these 8 games that we have coming. Well, now we have, 6 games left. 6 games left and going into the playoffs. Because if he has performances like that in the playoffs, this Celtics team's not going to make it that far. I know you can't rely on Tice to score 30, play that well every game. You can't rely on guys like Brad Wanamaker to play that well. He played very well off the bench in this game, playing 26 minutes. You can't rely on Smart playing that well every game. Guys like that, you can't rely on. Smart was on
fire from three for a while. He had some great moves at the
three
top.
Three for six. Yeah, he went 50%. So you're going to need Tatum to be a lot more consistent, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when we talk about the next game. He actually showed up.
Yeah, so I had a lot of concerns. If we were doing this podcast, obviously, before the Blazers game happened, I would have had a lot of concerns. Mm-hmm. But knowing what I know now and how it ended up happening, thank God he got a haircut and kind of figured it out.
Well, the Blazers, I guess we can move on to the Blazers game. Last thing I want to say about the Bucks game, yeah, the refs were atrocious, but I think the Celtics could have won this game if they did play better. There's no home court advantage in these games, so I think that was just an L by Jason Tatum. He just didn't show up that game, and that really was the win. That was really why the Celtics lost. Jason Tatum just did not show up.
If he had given even marginal production, then I think they very well
average won. His average production. Yeah, they win that game. He just did not show up on offense, and you know I can't say that's a bad thing because they're not playing in the Garden. They're not playing in wherever the Bucks play. They're not playing in these giant stadiums, which are giant courts where they used to play. They're playing in a very small court with nothing really going on. It does fuck with players' heads. It probably does. They're not used to this atmosphere at all.
Yeah, it's definitely different. The Bucks do have the number one defense, and they were smothering Tatum at a lot of points. He was getting a lot of double teams. Kyle Korver was actually really disrupting Jason Tatum more than you would expect Kyle Korver to. So overall, I understand Jason Tatum's like our emerging superstar. People want to throw anything they got at him to try and stop him, and that's exactly what the Bucks did. They knocked him out of rhythm, and he didn't even have his first make until late in the third quarter. So I was like, oh god, I was afraid he was going to go scoreless.
Yeah, credit to them. They really knocked him out early, and he stayed like that. He did not play well the whole entire game, which is sad. Sad to see. But the next game against the Portland Trail Blazers, Celtics won, 128-124. Tatum switched it up. He got a nice little fade, and he got those curly cues off, and he played a fuck ton better than last game because Tatum went off for 34 points, 8 assists, only had 4 rebounds, but he almost had that double-double in there. Played phenomenal, 11 for 22 from the field, 5 for 8 from 3. And really, the entire Celtics team played amazing again. Daniel Tyson didn't go off for 13 points again, but everyone else seemed to have their rhythm on offense.
Yeah, they look great. The Celtics came out, they were fiery. They didn't exactly need Kemba Walker in this game, and he gave them like bare minimum production. Like he came in 14 points. The real story of this game was the Twin Towers, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Obviously, we said Tatum got the haircut. He got his magic powers back, and he went out there and showed everyone the superstar that we know and love. Absolutely flames, and this whole game was very entertaining to watch. The refs almost scared me at the end of this game, too. I almost had another conniption and just stopped watching basketball altogether because there was a terrible was late in the game. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the Celtics, it looked like it was going to be a blowout for a little bit, and then Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum started putting it back together. Melo hit a three or two in the third quarter, and all of a sudden the Blazers were right back in it. And just when I was afraid that the Celtics wouldn't be able to hold them off, because it seemed like it was really just Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward holding up the pack, Jaylen Brown erupts in the third quarter, hits three threes in third quarter and two more in the fourth quarter, and just blows up. Could not miss. Big time. Got a big dunk, too, on a steal. Love to see that. Those are the two guys that we're building our franchise around. Those are our future. And I have never been more happy to say that we have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown than after this game. They played fantastic together. You said Tatum had those 8 assists. He was setting up his teammates perfectly. And a lot of those assists went to Jaylen Brown for 3.
I'm going to look at the glass half empty on this game. Yes, the Celtics did play well as a team, but come on, the Portland Trailblazers, 30-38 record on the year.
They've been underperforming good. For sure.
They have. And you got to look at a team like the Trailblazers and the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks are far better than the Portland Trailblazers. The Portland Trailblazers aren't even in the same league as the Celtics, if you're going to tier as the Celtics, if we're going to look at it like that.
Yeah, but they have great quality players. I just think that they unfortunately couldn't put it all together. They had some injuries too.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Celtics let them back in the game late. Portland Trailblazers actually outscored the Boston Celtics in the third and fourth quarter, 38-27 in the third, 38-34 in the fourth. And I really wanted to see the Celtics just put them away after halftime because they were up big, and I wanted to see them just come out and slam the door on them. And I get that maybe they wanted to rest up. You know, you got a long playoff series ahead of you. Brad Stevens maybe wanted to try some new things out, yada, yada, yada. Some Ojale got some minutes. Grant Williams even got some minutes. So not a lot, but they got some minutes. But you can't let a team like that. I want to see the Celtics dominate for full four quarters. I don't know when we're going to be able to see that because we play the Miami Heat next. And I haven't really looked. Yeah, so I don't know about next game, but I feel like they got to have a team coming up that they can just completely dominate.
After that, they're playing the Nets, so they should be able to dominate the Nets.
I don't know. The Nets have given the Celtics a lot of trouble this year as well.
It's basically a bunch of G Leaguers now, though. Half the team isn't even playing.
Yeah, true. So hopefully they can just put that team away and, you know, really dominate for four quarters because I want to see the Celtics do that. It's what the Bucks do to a lot of the teams in the league. And if the Celtics want to have a chance at beating the Bucks, I want to see them just dominate a team. This is like they should have dominated the Portland Trailblazers. I get that they have Lillard and McCollum, two amazing players, even Nurkic.
He's bad.
He's hard to defend. Yeah, he's hard to defend when the Celtics really don't have a dominant center. So,
yeah, I particularly am not a big Yusuf Nurkic guy, but he really killed it in this game in particular. God, yeah. He had 30 points. Of course, Damian Lillard, per usual, had 30 points, and he was just pulling up from downtown. I mean, this guy is basically pulling up from the Seaport District right now. Absolutely ridiculous. Fire in the third quarter. And then down the stretch, of course, he's their go-to guy. Gary Trent Jr., rookie this year, also ended up lighting it up. He had 21 points. He had some big buckets down the stretch. It was basically just them coming back on the backs of Gary Trent, CJ McCollum, and Damian Lillard all chucking up threes. Carmelo Anthony only had 13, so he picked and chose when he got his buckets. Had a big three-pointer with, I think, 26 seconds left to put them down three. So it was a lot closer game than it should have been. Definitely could have went the other way, and the Blazers easily could have won this. So it's good that the Celtics were able to come out with the win. You're right, they weren't as consistent as we want them to be. They definitely should have put this team away. But the Blazers are a tough team. All the respect in the world to Dame. CJ, I think, is an absolute beast as well. And now that they have all their players back, I do think the Blazers are a scary team. They won They're 1-1 basically since coming back in Orlando. They're really fighting for that eighth seed spot. I think the Spurs are going to get it now. Yeah. It's definitely going
to
be tough.
They pretty much had to win out to get there.
Yeah. So, I mean, you never know how things are going. The Grizzlies, who were the eighth seed, lost both of their games. Now, I know the Spurs are two games out of the eighth seed. I'm not exactly sure all the standings right now, but it's basically a huge mosh pit of teams in the West trying to fight for that eighth seed. The Pelicans lost both of their games, too, so they're not looking good. It's going to be absolute madness to try and get this eighth seed in the West, and I'm excited to see that, and I would love to see the Blazers get it. For me, it's really the Blazers or the Spurs who should get it. In my mind, I don't want to see anyone else in the playoffs.
Yeah, they probably put up the best efforts against the number one seed.
Of course, and the Blazers have been regulars, too. Like, we love to see Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum in the playoffs. They've been there the last 5 years. Yeah, Dame always has big games. Yeah. He always has signature playoff moments, ending the Thunder, you know, whatever, not super team, but whatever they had last year when Dame hit that half quarter and waved him off goodbye. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see some more Dame Dalla in the playoffs, but certainly not at the Spurs' expense.
Yeah, and I know we didn't touch this. I wanted to say this because we didn't really talk about it. The fine on Marcus Smart for trash-talking the refs.
Yeah.
I forget. I think it was a $15 million fine, if
something
I remember.
Something around there.
No, 15, not 15 million. Holy shit. That'd be a lot of money. 15,000. Yeah, somewhere around there. Somewhere.
I didn't even realize you said million either. That way I don't remember.
That would have been a hefty fine for a player if you got fined $15 million. Yeah. But, yes, he definitely trash-talked the refs after that game.
Well, he was pissed, and for good reason.
Yeah, and he was, yeah, it was $15,000 for criticizing the overturned call, basically. And really, that money does really not, to Marcus Smart, that might mean something, but $15, he's going to voice his opinion. He's never been known for being quiet when it comes to this shit, so he's definitely going to voice his opinion no matter what happens.
Of course, and I like what he said. He said, quite frankly, I think we all know what that was about. Smart said, he said, it was Giannis' sixth foul. They didn't want to get him out. Let's call a spade a spade. And absolutely, like, he's completely right. I went on that rant earlier. I'd back him up completely. He was the one involved. He took a knee to the chest from a 7-foot Greek man moving roughly as fast as he can.
I don't know if it matters if he was Greek or Irish or American.
Yeah, but like, 7-foot saying, Greek man. Yeah, like, this dude laid Smart out. Yeah. I'd be pretty pissed too. Especially if you lose the game after. He's a competitor. You want to win. If you're going to go out there and put your body on the line like that, you want the win, and you want the refs to play the game fairly, or call the game fairly, I guess. So I'd be pretty pissed. I do hate that players aren't allowed to speak out like that.
Yeah.
You usually. Yeah, it just seems a little dictatorship-y, I guess, if that's a word, if that's how I can put it. But it just seems a little ridiculous. I
mean, they signed the contract, and I think that's probably in there. They know they're going to get fined if they trash talk the refs.
Of course. Well, it's not even trash talking the refs. It's just criticizing them afterwards, though. It's like, usually the NBA will come out a week or two later after a game that had, like, a bad call like this, and they'll say, like, hey, this call was missed or this call wasn't missed after reviewing it. And I'm sure they'll come out and say that they missed this call with the Bucks. So if a player were to say it right after the game when emotions are still high, can you really fine the man $1,500? It just seems a little ridiculous to me if they're going to end up, they're critiquing their own play and their own refereeing. Probably as we speak, they're looking at it. So why can't players who are involved in it right after say something? It just seems a little not right to me. I think they should be able to take the constructive criticism. Yeah.
Yeah. Because players take the constructive criticism all the time. They're getting constructive criticism all the time.
Tough
two words in a row, tongue twister. Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to briefly talk about that just because we didn't say anything. But I wanted to go over the remaining schedule a little bit. I know we talked about their next game tomorrow night. Tomorrow is an earlier game, 6:30 against Miami. That'll be a huge, huge game on TNT. I really want to see the Celtics come out and win this game, but it's going to be tough.
Oh, are we bringing back the White Claw wager of the week then?
We should. I do have White Claw that's just stacked in my fridge. We're going to have to catch Jonte up on this one.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. I mean, who do they have any? So they play Miami, then Brooklyn, back-to-back days. Yikes, that's tough.
And then
Friday, the Raptors. I'd rather put it on the Raptors game. The Raptors have been hot.
They have been. That'd be a good one, yeah.
Who do you... I don't even know who won the last game. Oh, okay, I have a quarter. We could flip. Want to do the Celtics-Raptors game?
Yeah.
Raptors, not Raptors. All right, heads or tails. Whoever wins this gets to pick. I'm not going to cheat. Heads or tails.
Right. You get to call it. I want heads.
Okay, you want heads. So who do you want? This is the White Claw wager of the week.
For the White Claw wager of the week, let's just choose flat winner or loser because I don't know the spread right now.
Okay.
Between the Raptors and the Celtics, the Raptors are 2-0. Fred VanVleet just dropped a career high 36 earlier this afternoon in a win over the Heat. I'll take the Celtics. I'll take the Celtics. The Raptors have to lose at some point. I think they're going to lose to the Celtics.
Okay, I'll take Toronto.
It's a good bet.
Yeah, that game's Friday night at 9:00, so maybe we can record like Saturday or Sunday. I don't know what everyone's schedule's
like.
Yeah,
it should be around Saturday.
Yeah, so maybe we can chug that White Claw if whoever loses. I'm down. I'm comfortable with Toronto, even though I don't want to root against the Celtics, and I'm not going to root against the Celtics. Technically, it's a home game for Toronto, even though they're not playing in Toronto, but yeah. I'll take the Toronto. I'll take the Raptors.
Absolutely. But hard to lose
those games. Exactly. And then Wednesday, so in between the Miami Heat game, Toronto game, we already talked about the Brooklyn Nets. This is a game we want to see the Celtics win.
Oh, 100%. I'm interested in seeing how the Nets play in general. Just like they have this makeshift team. I want to see some Jamal Crawford action. But I definitely expect the Celtics to kick some ass against the Nets. It'll be kind of like a doorstop
game. How have they played?
Huh?
How they played?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I was just trying to think of that right now.
They beat the Wizards and they lost to the Magic. Well, those are both huge games considering the Wizards, Magic, and Nets are playing to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's strange. Imagine if the Nets made the playoffs without Kyrie and KD. That'd be pretty dumb.
Well, they had Kyrie some of the year. I know he didn't play a lot. Actually, did
not much at all.
No, I don't know if Friday the 31st counted for that.
What are you talking about?
Did Friday 31st, when did they start the season? 31st? Okay, so it did count. So the Nets are 1-1. In summer and what not summer league.
Yeah, well. Since coming back, yeah, in the
since
summer
coming
league.
Back, yeah, in Orlando. We were talking about in Orlando. So the Nets, I want to see. That's a team we should see. We should expect to just dominate them just from first start to finish. And I know, like you said, they're gonna have a lot of G League guys or younger players just coming out and trying to ball up and score like 1,000 points each, because that's what we're gonna see. And I think it's just gonna be a sloppy game by the Nets. So we should just come out and dominate them.
Of course. In the middle of two pretty tough games, I think the Nets is very well-timed. Like I said, kind of like a doormat game where the Celtics can just go in, get a confidence booster after playing a tough Miami Heat team and before going and playing the current two-seed Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And for the rest of the schedule, am I on the right? No, I'm not even on the fucking Celtics schedule. It looks pretty easy. I mean, we have a lot of teams that we can just take down. I know the Wizards are on there. The Orlando Magic and the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies. So those are three teams that we should just dominate. No questions asked.
The Grizzlies could be tough, but I can't imagine.
We've beaten them pretty good this year.
Yeah. The Magic always seem to give the Celtics trouble too. Like every year there's always like one game where the Magic give the Celtics trouble.
They have, but they might be out of it by that point, so they might not even give a fuck.
Yeah, that's late. That's like Tuesday.
Because we have no idea what teams like the Brooklyn Nets are going to do down the line against the other teams that they play. If they're already out of it, or the Orlando Magic, if they're already out of it, or Memphis, Washington. Because those teams could be out of it quick. They lose three games, they're out. So we really don't know how these teams are going to go. Those last three games, though, for the Celtics, Orlando, Memphis, Washington, just chalk those up as wins in my book. If they lose any of those games, I'll be pretty mad.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm going to side with you on that one, too. If they lose, I'd be quite surprised.
And they should just dominate those games. Unless one of those three teams is actually trying, like if it's a do or
die
game.
They have something to play for, yeah.
Yeah, if they have something to play for, then those might be tough, especially against Orlando. The Washington Wizards have surprised the Celtics a lot this year. They've came out playing.
Yeah, Ish Smith beat them.
Yeah, exactly. So if they have something to play for, maybe. But if not, I don't know how they're going to come out and play. I don't know if they're going to start their stars, or if they're just going to say, hey, you know what, pack your bags, go home, because we have nothing else to play for. I don't know if the NBA will allow that. I'm sure they've they've had to talk to these lower seeded teams saying, hey, you gotta play these stars because we really need them to play and we really need people to watch these games. I don't know what they've told them. I'm hoping they just send their players. I don't want it to be a layup for the Celtics, but I want them to just be like, you know, nice little tune-ups, especially these last three games heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But it is still a business, so the league's going to want as many players as they can play in.
Exactly. And it's really those. So, really, all we have left is Miami and Toronto. And those will be good games because, you know, those are teams we might see in the playoffs.
No doubt.
I don't know if we'll see Toronto, but we might see Miami or Toronto. And those are teams
we can see any of.
Yeah, those are teams that I'm scared of, because you said obviously Toronto's been playing very, very well.
Yeah, I mean they're ahead of us in the seedings, which always it still surprises me right now. Mm-hmm. Like they're really the second seed. But yeah, Nick Nurse is a great coach. He's got the killer defense.
Could be coach of the year again.
Yeah. Never know. I would be surprised. He has my vote, honestly. I can't think, besides maybe Doc Rivers, who of course I love. Yeah. I can't imagine anyone else who I'd want as a coach of the year.
After losing Kawhi Leonard and winning the championship, and you're still one of the higher seeds in the East, I would give it to Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal coach. Even what he did last year with Kawhi Leonard.
Has Kyle Lowry playing well somehow? That dude sucks.
I like Kyle Lowry, but
somebody else. I don't think Kyle Lowry likes Kyle Lowry.
Even Miami. Miami's been on a roll this season. They've been playing well. I think that's a team the Celtics should beat. They're a little younger, but obviously, I think Jimmy Butler is the best person on the court between the Celtics and Miami. He's the best man out there. That's a team that you do have to worry about, even in the safe game, regular season games.
Oh, yeah. But there, I think that will wrap up this episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there anything else that you have to talk about?
No, I mean,
that's a short and sweet episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. That was really short and sweet. All right. that's gonna wrap it up for the Rafters podcast, episode 40. Brought to you by Couchcast.
The Michael Finley episode of this podcast. Gosh, Michael Finley. 40.
Go check it out. We're on Apple Podcasts. We need to find out how to get on Spotify somehow, because I feel like that's what most people listen to.
We're out that even Apple Spotify deal.
Yeah, I can call him up real quick after this podcast.
Yeah. Hit up Joe, see how he got that.
Or you can go to www.therafters.com. We don't have a website. www.couchguysports.com and check us out there, along with all the other podcasts on the network. We'll talk to everybody next week after the next few games, and everyone enjoy basketball. It's back, baby.
Absolutely. Slater, and get ready to drink that White Claw.
Slater.